Welcome to Next Level Christianity, a podcast designed to teach Christians biblical truth, help apply it to their daily lives, and gain true clarity of what it means to follow Jesus. Our churches and Christian communities are being influenced by cultural and worldly views, and few pastors are teaching on how to live a biblical life. My name is John Alkire, along with my beautiful wife, Carrie Ann. Please join us as we have important conversations where biblical truth and life application collide. We hope these episodes help equip and motivate you to take your Christian faith to the next level. So grab your Bible and join us in the conversation. Welcome back to another episode of our podcast, Next Level, where biblical truth and life application collide. That's what we're about here. And that's what we're doing today. I am your host, John Alkire, and my lovely co-host sitting across from me and wife, Carrie Ann, is in the house.
Hey, you guys. How are you? Welcome back. We're so glad to have you.
Yeah, and she's been battling. This has taken a while to finish this three-part series because she's been battling some sickies here, and it's been like a back-to-back whammy, so...
Yeah, kind of a bummer, but that's okay. We're super excited to wrap this series up for you guys and give you some great application.
Yeah, and so she's tripping through this, and this is the third part, the final part. The first two, if you haven't heard them, please go back and listen. Part one is a personal relationship, pillar one. Part one is a personal relationship with God. And then part two is... It's a big word. It's a lot used in the Bible. It's called sanctification or sanctified, but we kind of called it holy living to make it a little easier to digest, but how to live a holy life. And so we go through that biblically in application. And then tonight we're super excited to finish it with part three, which is sharing our faith and the importance to that and what different ways we can put into our lives to help us do that. And we know as believers, we are called to share the good news of Christ. Jesus gave the Great Commission. Some of you may not have heard of it, but you're going to find it in Matthew 28. To his disciples before his final ascension into heaven, he tells us to make disciples of all nations and teach them to obey everything I've commanded. The unfortunate reality is statistics suggest that 95% of Christians do not share their faith. And I read an article a ways back, and I can't reference it, but I remember reading it about a year ago, and it was an atheist who said one of his main points was, if your God is so great and is who you say he is, why are you not talking about him?
That's really good.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that's so good.
It's from an atheist. He's like, if he's everything, he's made all these things, he does all these amazing things in your lives and has done all these amazing things prior. Why don't you guys ever talk about them? So we're hoping to change that tonight with who's listening.
Yeah.
We're hoping to make that difference. And in Luke 10:2, Jesus, you can look it up, but Jesus talks about the harvest to his disciples. He says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. He said that 2,000 some years ago. And so he knows that the harvest is full of people who need to hear the good news of Christ. But the workers are few. So we're trying to build some workers tonight as well. However, as believers, this is not an option. The Great Commission, I've shared this before, it is not an option. He isn't saying that to some of us. He is saying that to all of us. And there are many reasons we don't do it. But I believe prayer and practicing will give us more reasons and more confidence in the process of sharing our faith. We find examples in the Bible, just giving our testimony on why we accepted Christ can be enough. Think about your story. Think about why you said yes to Jesus. That story can just be enough for somebody to hear and take root in their life. Another great way is living our faith out, living our life in such a way that it attracts people to the reasons of why we live the way we do. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount talked about the salt and the light. He said, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine bright before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven.
That's really good.
This can open the door of opportunity to tell people about our faith, of how we live and how they see the light through us. And then we can talk about salvation and relationship with God. We also have major platforms we're going to talk about tonight through our cell phones, such as social media, to post biblical verses, short stories from the Bible, testimonial videos, blogs, vlogs. These are all great and relevant ways to reach people all over the world about Jesus.
They're so good.
But let's first be very clear here as we open this up, that others' salvation is not accomplished by our power, not by the pastor's power, not by the church's power, not by the Christian radio station's power, not by the Christian musician's power, and not by the evangelist's power or the events that you may go to or have gone to. It is only, and I mean only in capital letters, God who saves. Period, end of story. Don't mistake that. The Bible is clear in the book of Romans and Ephesians that those who accept Christ have been chosen before the earth was created, predestined to be adopted sons and daughters of Christ. We do not know who these people are. We don't know who God has chosen. We don't know who God has set salvation before and when that will happen. Or we don't have control over that salvation, as I mentioned. But we are called and commissioned to share the message and good news to everyone. Period. End of story.
This is so exciting. Hey, you know what? I was thinking.
Yeah.
We're talking about sharing our faith. Mm-hmm. Sorry. I'm sorry about my throat.
You're doing great.
So did you know that faith is a complete trust or confidence in someone or something? And that in our case, this would be complete trust or confidence in God.
Yeah.
And so just when we talk about sharing, I just think it's really important to remember what faith is. As we get going, we're getting going, guys. It's super fun. But just having that complete trust and confidence. And that's why we want to know the information that is coming up. But I just wanted to throw that definition at you guys. So it's a complete trust, complete confidence, and that's what our faith is.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that's good. You know, I wanted to kind of go back to where we were about not knowing who needs to receive the word, right? And Jesus talks about this. I want to go back to the Bible real quick. But Jesus talks about this and taught it to us about the seeds we lay. And how they won't always land on good soil. Only a few may make it. So as we go into how to share our faith, and we're going to break a lot down tonight, so please, I didn't preface this earlier, but if you've got your Bible, I want you to have it with you. If you've got notepad, have it with you. There's going to be a lot of information, a lot of notes, a lot of takeaways, which is why we do this, and then we're excited to bring those to you. But as we talk about the Bible, and we talk about how Jesus kind of already forewarned us as sharing our faith, that in the parable of the four soils that you're going to find out of three of the four Gospels, you can just check Matthew 13, 1 through 23 is a good place to read that. And I encourage you to read for yourselves, but it basically explains how people receive the gospel. He already sets the tone for us. He already tells us, like, hey, there's going to be people of the path, and they'll never hear or receive or understand what we share about the gospel. And they'll be the people of the rocky soil. Well, they'll seem joyous when they receive it. They'll hear it, but when things get tough and there's trials or any persecution, or maybe they're made fun of because of their faith by their family members or friends, they will fall away. They will abandon their faith. And then there's the people of the thorns, and they will hear it, but the worries of life and the worldly influences will choke it out, and they won't have the ability to grow any fruit. So it won't take root, and they will not be effective followers of Jesus. And then there's the fourth, which is what we're talking about, the people of good soil. The people of good soil, you listening right now, you who are following Jesus are in the good soil, right? And so those are going to be the ones that are going to bear, they're going to understand and receive it. And then they're going to, as in the parable, they're going to produce its crop. They're going to grow roots and put their faith in Christ and live for Christ and do the things that God's asked in the Bible as far as commands and Bible and all those things. And again, not perfect, because we're not, but you're going to follow Christ as number one in your life. So he kind of sets the tone already for us, which is what I love about it. Is like, here's how it's going to be received. So just be ready. And don't be shocked, but we, his point is we're there to throw seeds everywhere, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you don't get to be the judge of what soil you're talking to.
You don't know.
And that's really important, because sometimes we think, gosh, somebody is not going to be interested in our faith story. And we can't make that executive decision.
No.
We have to be willing to speak about it.
And I personally have had two examples where I was discipling two individuals who received it, and it was, I felt like it was joyous, and I felt like that was going to take root, and I was all excited because I had a couple men who were coming to Christ and needed Christ, and man, they've fallen away and they're gone. It bothered me. I remember you said it perfectly, Carrie, like, I know you're upset about it. I know you're struggling with it, but it's not your call. You may just planted the seed right now. It may bear fruit 6 years from now, 10 years from now, whatever. But I was just so wanting to close it. You know, that's just my personality. I'm a sales guy. I just want to close it. And who doesn't want to sell Jesus? But man, I was like, I had them there. They were there. They were excited. And then they're nowhere to be found. They're not in church. Can't get a hold. You know, they've just fallen away. Just like Jesus says here. So it's going to happen. So he forewarns us.
Another side note, you guys, as we're thinking about these four different soils, and again, feel free to just rewind a couple seconds back and listen to the four soils again. As we think about this,
I know your voices. Okay. Sorry, your voices. She's trying so hard, but
it's all gone.
It's kind of gone. Well, I'm going to take over here, which is fine. She'll jump in when she can. But I think you were saying go back to the four soils, right? Reread them. Jesus already laid it out. He already forewarned us. He already prepped us to how that was going to be received. It doesn't stop us. He wants us to share our faith. He wants us to put the seeds out. And, you know, we mentioned the 95% of Christians who don't share their faith. I saw another study by Barna. You can look up any of these things online. Barna Group did one. And in 2018, they found that 30% of Christians today say it's the church's responsibility for evangelism. And by looking at the trends, they had done some surveys years prior. The trend, according to the study, is growing over the years in this stance and position that Christians today are saying, it is not my responsibility to share my faith. It is the pastors. It is the church. And questions I have or wanted to pose out to you as you listen to this, I got four, and I want you to just think about it, write them down. This is where I want you to have your notepad. When is the last time you shared your faith or your story to someone? When is the last time you invited someone to church? When is the last time you posted something about Jesus, your faith, or biblical verse on social media? And do you believe it is not yours, but the church's responsibility to share the good news about Jesus? We know the answer to that because the Great Commission in Matthew 28, Jesus commanded all of us, not just those disciples, all of us, that we need to take his message to all nations. But our opinion doesn't really matter, right? We can tell you everything right now that we believe and we feel, and you can believe it or not, but we don't want you to go down that road because the Bible is the ultimate authority, and it's God's word, and we're going to talk about what God's word has to say about that. And I think I'm going to be reading these because Carrie's voice is a little starting to get shot. But we're going to just go into Matthew 28 real quick, 19-20. Talked about the Great Commission. Therefore, Jesus' words, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I will be with you always to the end of the age. 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. If you think about the salt and light, when Jesus said, show the light through your actions, through who you are, how you live your life, people are going to be interested. So Peter's saying, be ready to answer when someone asks where your hope is coming from. Philemon 1:6, I pray.
Or Philemon.
Philemon. Thank you. She spoke. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith. That's just one sentence, but I love it. Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Isaiah 52:7, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring tidings, which is news or information, who proclaim salvation. That's found in the Old Testament, Isaiah 52. Romans 10:14-17. How then, this is Paul, I love this. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? Doesn't happen unless they hear the good news. Somebody's got to hear it from somebody. Matthew 5:15-17 says, let your light shine before men. We talked about this. That they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven, right? Through our actions. We talked about that earlier. 1 Corinthians 3:8-9 says, the man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. That's a good one, too.
I love that.
1 Corinthians 9:19-23, Paul describes how he becomes like a chameleon and adapts to each personality, becoming all things to all men to have the ability to save their souls. He goes through each type of person and how he found common ground with everyone. And we're going to go through that as we move forward. But that is going to be found, and we're going to talk about that, 1 Corinthians 9:19-23, a powerful section. I want you to think for a second, though, just real quick, take a pause. I want you to sit back and say to yourself and ask yourself the question, why don't I share my faith? What is the reason why I don't share my faith? If you don't, why don't you? Write down some of your own personal feelings and reasons. We're going to give you some reasons that we've thought of and we've researched, but I want you to write down some things that are in your heart and mind. What are the obstacles? What are the struggles? What are the challenges? Okay? Because we're going to pop into this right now. So think about that for a minute. So here are some reasons, again, that we've thought about. And if you go back, I episode number 4, we did 6 stages of spiritual development. It was really focused on spiritual maturity. And stage 6 was sharing the Great Commission, which we're talking about a little bit, that's launched into this. Depending on where you are in your journey, that's a maturity level and a stage where, you know, when Jesus had his disciples, and I talked about this in episode 4, it is a maturity thing for sure. You got to feel confident in your faith. You got to be in the Bible a little bit, right? And you always want to try to be equipped. And so that's what we're trying to do here, is help you with that process, because it's hard to go out and share if you're not very comfortable, if you're not equipped by that. And Jesus did that with his disciples. He didn't just leave them. He didn't just show up and say, hey guys, I'm going to go die on the cross. You're going to go build my church. Good luck. He spent a lot of time, years with them, developing and equipping them. So So understand that, and that's what we want to do here. So we're going to give you some concrete things here that hopefully can help you. Hopefully your church is giving you those as well. But here's some things that I think could help really drive your boldness and your confidence to share your faith. So I want you to try it. So, but first we got to understand why we don't share our faith. And so hopefully you wrote down some things for yourself. See if some of these apply. Reasons why we don't share our faith. I don't like rejection. Nobody likes rejection, right?
Nobody likes rejection.
I have no time. I don't have time to share my faith. We're busy. I get it. I don't know how to start the conversation. I don't know how to share my faith. Well, we're going to hopefully help you with that. I don't know enough about the Bible. It's a good one. I'm not a good example myself. Mm-hmm. So a lot of you might feel like, hey, my life isn't really that pure or that holy or sanctified like pillar two. So I'm not so comfortable sharing my faith. Something that holds you back. We talked about this. It's not my job to share my faith, right? It's a pastor's job. You heard Barna Group talk, 30% of Christians are saying that's not our problem. It's the pastors and the church. Here's another reason why we don't share. They will say no anyway. They're just going to say no anyways. They're not going to care. I don't want to be an inconvenience to somebody talking about my faith. I am waiting for the right time, right? How many of you are like, I'm just waiting for that right time. Talk to my parents or talk to my brother or talk to my friend. Well, there's never a good time. There's never the right time. I don't want them to think I'm weird. Okay? So there are some barriers, some obstacles, and reasons why we don't share faith. But as we think about it, we go, what are the outcomes of sharing your faith? Like, seriously, what out of all the outcomes of sharing your faith and planting seeds, there's three. Really? There's three. They say yes. They say yes. And Luke 15:7 talks about a party in heaven. When a soul is saved, there's a party in heaven. So you can look up Luke 15:7, but they say yes. There's one outcome. Here's another one. They aren't ready yet. They aren't ready to receive it yet. We talked about the four soils. Jesus kind of already prepared you. You don't know. They're not ready. Maybe that was, a story of mine. It was in Tennessee, and I was playing baseball, and I had some guys that had the hardcore approach. Catholic kid, grow up, but didn't really give my life to Christ yet. I'm in college. I'm in Tennessee. I got these guys, and they're like, hey, Alki, do you believe in Jesus? I guess so. Do you believe in hell? I'm not sure. Well, if you don't believe in hell, you're going to go to hell. If you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to go to hell. Literally, the scare tactic. It was a hardcore approach. It kind of made me mad. I was totally frustrated. Like, who are these guys telling me I'm going to go to hell? Well, biblically, they're right. But I didn't want to hear it. And little did I know that those seeds were thrown out there in that way. We're not going to talk about that approach today, but but it was an approach. And I became a Christian literally 2 years after that. So and gave my life to Christ. So point being is they're not ready yet. That's okay. Who's in control of salvation?
Right.
It's God. Mm-hmm. So, and the third outcome is you get rejected. Well, Jesus warned in Matthew 5:12 that blessed are those who are persecuted in my name. He warned that there's going to be people that aren't going to like you, are going to reject you, are going to make fun of you, or whatever. Persecution we know all over the world going on is coming to death and destruction. But as Christians are battling that across the world, but Jesus warned of it. So there's three outcomes. They're not scary. One's yes. Two's I'm not ready yet. Which we're not in control anyway. And then three is no. I have no interest in. They're could be the people on the path in the four soils.
And a no is not a no forever.
Sure. Either. Absolutely not.
It could just be no, not now.
Absolutely not. So again, reasons why we don't share our faith. And here's the outcome. So don't be scared. So now we're going to share some hopefully helpful ideas or concepts to help equip you to be more prepared, equipped, and confident to share your faith. These are not going to be complex ideologies, concepts that we pull from books or experts. Carrie and I are no different than you listening to this. this stuff is hard. It is uncomfortable. It can be scary. But it can be done through some basic relational, and I use the word business, kind of sales transactional ways you might already be involved with. If you're in the working class, you're already doing it at work. You know, conversations and selling products and stuff like that. The major difference is that this product and topic and subject is Jesus. We're talking about our Savior.
And we are not the closer.
We're not the closer.
We're not the closer. We're just the messenger.
So in sales, we're trying to close, right? Correct. God's the closer. We're the setup people, right? Yes. In this way. We're the setups.
Yes.
And we're the setups, and we just have to know that in our approach. Our goal is to give you a starting point. I want you to know you can develop your own ways to share your faith off these, your own concepts. There's many, many different ways, but we want to hopefully motivate you down this path. So I want to quickly talk about a conversation of evangelism, the process of conversation. When you're talking to a neighbor, you're talking to your family member or a coworker about Jesus. And we're going to talk about six little steps here, little six things. So if you follow along, number one, developing a relationship or rapport. Obviously, when you build a relationship or you have a relationship, you have a trust with somebody. And I wanted to talk about that 1 Corinthians 9:19-23 with Paul. And I'm going to read a little bit of what he says in those verses. You can look for yourself. I'm going to read it because I want you to hear what he's saying here. And this is the relationship piece. This is the rapport piece. This is, I told Carrie in business, I do this a lot in sales. You kind of have to adapt to the customer and what their interests are so that you can have a really good conversation. You can have something in common so you can have lead them down the path of what you're trying to take them to help their business with a product or service. Well, Paul actually did this in his ministry. Look at this. He says, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. He says, to Jews, I became a Jew. Under the law, I became like one under the law. Someone not having the law, which he didn't live under any law as we know as Christians. But he says, I became not under the law. To the weak, I became weak. He says, I have become all things to all men, so by all possible means I might save. And I want you to think about this word he uses, because I love words he uses. So by all means possible, I might save some. He does not save all. He doesn't save as many as I... He says some, because he knows.
Well, it's not up to him.
It's not up to him. And we know that not all will take the message and receive it and hear it. So I love that. And he says that right there in that Romans chapter. So he's building a relationship with all the different people, all their different cultures. He adapts to it. So this is just...
We're talking about the Jews and the Gentiles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's just adapting. And if someone's weak, I'm going to be weak. If someone's under law, I'm going to kind of play like I'm under law with them and have some rapport. Even though I'm not, I'm going to kind of get on their common ground here. It's, again, step one, developing a relationship, building a rapport.
Authentically.
And Paul taught us that in 1 Corinthians 9:19-20. It's so good. And I read Matt Chandler. I love this. He wrote about hospitality. He did a whole article. Look it up. He talked about sharing his faith. He believes in this day and age, hospitality being one of the biggest forms of evangelism, which is being hospitable, inviting people to your home, hanging out with people, but being social and letting them, again, see the light in your life, and maybe conversations start to come with church and about God, where you can start bringing them the message through being hospitable and hospitality. So step one, in general, just this relationship. Step two is just asking questions. It's not scary. You're with somebody. You can ask some questions to get the conversation going, to learn about their faith, with intent to listen and not to listen to respond. Don't be waiting to respond as you ask questions about this. Don't be listening to respond. Listen to listen. Be a good listener in this. Very important in the process. Some couple ideas is, hey, what church do you go to? Just as simple as that. Just, hey, I just assume everybody goes to church, Carrie. What church you guys going to? Oh, we don't go to church. Well, there you just started a conversation about church, just like that. There's many other ways you can do it. Hey, tell me your thoughts on God. What are your thoughts on God? It's a simple question. You're going to know. Again, number one, you've built a relationship, right? You have a rapport. You build common ground.
Yeah, you're not walking up to a stranger and saying, hey.
Absolutely not. I know in street ministry they do. There is street ministry. We're not talking street ministry. We're just talking about.
We're talking about you are with the same people at pickup every day from grade school.
The soccer field.
You're over and over and over. And eventually you get to this point. So where are you at?
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, so step one, relationship, rapport. I love the hospitality by Matt Chandler as an idea of having people over, dinners, things like that. But asking questions, asking open the conversation with some questions. Number three, as we talked about earlier, share your testimony. There's nothing wrong when you get to that point and they're in that conversation with you and they want to know a little bit more about God or about church, and then you can start sharing about you and your testimony. Your testimony is powerful enough as a seed to plant. How you met Jesus, why you accepted Jesus, life before Jesus, and life after Jesus is probably plenty to get someone interested in the decision and why you are living for him. And then number four, step four, is you share the benefits of following Jesus in different ways, right? There's a lot of different ways to do this. A free gift of salvation. Eternal life we found in John 3:16, takes away your sins and past baggage, transforms our life, gives us purpose, we receive the Holy Spirit, receive God's promises, secure our place in heaven. There's all kinds of material out on the internet on this that you can look up, that you can use as this number four is what are the benefits of following Christ. We could do a whole episode on that, but it's our fourth step in this, you know, evangelism conversation process that we built for you here. Step number five, offer them the opportunity to accept Christ by praying with them. Okay. If you've gotten to one, and then you get to two, you ask the questions, they're interested. You share your story. Now they're really interested. You're sharing the benefits. And now you offer number five. Again, she says, my wife, so clearly, we're not in charge. We're not closed and we're set up. But you can always offer the opportunity to pray and tell them what the prayer is, which we find, as you know, in Romans 10:9-10, is when we profess our life to Christ and we believe in our hearts and we profess with our mouth. You can have that prayer with them, or you can give them the prayer and tell them what they can do. And then number six, invite them to church, whatever church you're going to, or follow up with them, you know, in a week after you have that conversation. Hey, how's things going? So just a quick 1-6 little step-by-step deal on a conversation on how you can work your way through those conversations to talk and share about your faith. Another thing that we want to throw out there is evangelism training and preparation. Knowledge is power here. Here's just some ideas. Again, you can write down a list of people at school, sports, neighbors, at your work, family members who need Jesus or don't know Jesus. Make a list. Many evangelist organizations do this. This is not new, but it is a powerful way to have a list and that you can pray over, and you can pray for God to use and open doors for you to share your faith with them. The power of prayer is real. So write them down and pray over them in your prayer time.
Absolutely.
Another thing that we came up with, Care, is just write your testimony in a journal. I know journaling is probably out of date, but if you journal, write out your story.
No, babe, journaling's hot right now.
Okay. Journaling, I love to journal. Range. I know. I decided with the phones. I never know what's going on anymore. But but write your testimony. What's your story? Why did you follow Jesus? What brought you to Jesus? What's your life like? Write it down. Because when you write it down, you really, it's just deep into your core and soul. And now when you write it, you really understand it more and you can talk about it more. When we write, we can regurgitate a lot better.
That's true.
And so really think writing out your testimony in a journal is a good process. Another thing you can do is write down questions to ask to get a spiritual conversation started. We said, hey, what's your thoughts on God, or hey, what church you go to. But man, there's a lot of other different things you can come up with to start a spiritual conversation. Make a list of things that you can do to start a conversation. What are different ways I can do that? And that way you'll have them in your mind when that day or that moment comes, you can do that. Write all possible objections. This is more business-like, more sales, right? More sales training-ish. But write all objections you may hear and develop some biblical rebuttals to each one. This is going to help your confidence with, hey, what are they going to say? What questions or pushbacks are they going to come at me in this conversation? There's many that can come. You can think about those. And then go back in the Bible. Use Google and Google some things, questions about this. But you can get a lot of content and biblical references that'll help you respond back to rebuttals that might come to you when you're sharing faith from a neighbor or family member. Not that you want to get in an argument and a debate. You just want to be able to kind of be prepared to answer back if somebody asks a question. So there's a lot of content out there. So that's a good way to help equip yourself and develop some of your skills on that. And then practice your process by doing role play with a friend or family member. You know, we went through the 6 conversational pieces to walk your way through sharing your faith. Maybe you practice that with a friend, a family member, walk them through that process so that you're role playing and getting a little bit more confident in the process. Again, reading the Bible, got to be in the Bible, arm yourself up with the knowledge, some verse memorization, but practice, practice, practice. The more you practice, the more prepared and more confident you're going to be in sharing your faith. So there's some things you can do to help you. Social media evangelism. Okay, this is a big one. And, you know, phone screens are absolutely eating more and more attention of all generations. I mean, you look down on the streets and you see people walking, you see people at train stations, whatever, airports, phones are in their hands. They're looking at social media, guaranteed, or videos.
Okay, wait, I know I sound terrible. I'm so sorry, but
she is still here. She is still with us.
Here's the thing. When it comes to a phone, it's not going away, ladies and gentlemen. It is not. The days of using books, paperback or hardback, those days are almost gone, you know. So being able to adapt is extremely important, and that's why this section is really critical. Learning how to share your faith, what you are confident of, on social media. So this is really exciting information. I just want you guys to think about how we are adapting because we have this tool. Now, of course, we still have the hardbound Bibles, which are amazing, but here we get an opportunity to do things that we've never been able to do. The social media piece is really big.
It's a huge platform. It's a monster that I think is still so untapped. I know it's untapped. When it comes to this conversation, when it comes to sharing our faith, untapped. But Generation Z is the ages from 7 to 22, okay? So that covers our middle school, high school, and even college kids. And I believe sharing our faith and executing the Great Commission that we've been talking about will be done very effectively over social media right now, today, and into the future. It is only going to get more that way. And so I believe we're going to reach these generations way stronger, way faster with the message of sharing on these platforms than any other. Like that whole conversational piece I just went through, the 1 through 6, how to, most of the generation don't even sit and have those guys. It's hard to even have those. No. But man, they're on their phones and they're talking through their phones. So this is the platform. The amazing thing to me is a lot aren't using it. The power of social media is such that the number of worldwide, listen to this, the number of worldwide users on social is 3 billion, billion monthly. And that'll be through 2021, they're saying. I mean, it's just going to get bigger and bigger. It's almost a third of the world's population are on social media right now, worldwide users, 3 billion. 81% of the U.S. population has a social media profile. Doesn't mean they're active on it, but they have a profile, so they're on it, they know it. Facebook alone has over 1 billion active monthly users. Monthly. Not 1 billion over a year. This is monthly These numbers will continue to climb. These numbers are staggering. Young Christians, you young Christians, if you're listening right now, social media is your platform for sharing your faith. Instead of selfies of yourselves sticking your tongues out or giving peace signs, you can share testimonies, your testimony, Bible verses that you're reading, positive messages learned through your faith to others who are watching. And you guys are so influential on each other. It is unbelievable. Adult Christians are no different. Mixed with kids' sports posts, family vacation posts, date night posts, how about some messages of your faith? Again, sharing your testimony, how God may be using you, Bible stories, or verses that you would post out. Someone out there may read it. That's the whole point of this. You don't know who's seeing this, and you don't always have control, as we said. It may change a bad decision that someone's about to make. One post.
That's true.
Someone out there needs to hear it. We know that. May never hear it elsewhere. They may never go to church. They may never hear it from their group or peers because they're not Christian. They don't go to church and they don't have that life. But through your posts, you may reach them. You may reach through the message of Christ, through you, through this platform. And pastors, I'm going to say this. They need to balance Sunday sermons with messages on IGTV, which is Instagram TV, Facebook vlogs, which are just videos on Facebook, either live or your own, Instagram posts, Facebook, IG stories. Both Facebook and IG stories are super popular, get a lot of attention. I follow a lot of pastors on social media, and I'm blown away at how little they're on social and or sharing anything about Jesus. It's mind-blowing, and I'm just going to call it out what it is. It is the largest free marketing platform on the world market.
Today.
Church leaders not working on strategies on how to gain more attention, reach, and equip their base through social media are making huge mistakes. In fact, will become irrelevant in kingdom building as we move into the future. So to your point, Carrie, if we don't adapt, we have to. It's here. It is what it is. It's still the same message. I think Apostle Paul, man, I sit back and I look back. Apostle Paul, with the platforms for him to communicate with churches and leaders and pastors, he would use every one of these. I believe Paul would use every. He wrote letters.
Could
you imagine him on these platforms?
Oh, he would have so much fun. But you guys, obviously there's balance. You know, obviously. But some of the cool things that we've had happen, we've had people recognize our faith and they'll say, hey, I disagree, but I admire your confidence in what you say. We've had people, that was an old high school classmate of yours.
Yeah.
We've seen people go from non-churchgoers to churchgoers. Now, where they are in their faith, we don't know, but they're learning in church just from watching our stories.
Yeah, big time. You are working with some people who are reaching out to you because of your posts and what you're talking about, and they're interested in your life, and they're interested in why you are the way you are, and things might not be going so great here and there, and they're reaching out to you in a trustworthy way. And opening the door, as we talked about, opening that door to eventually getting to these conversations. But it's all through what we're posting. And
absolutely.
It's not fake. We're doing this for God's glory. That's it.
No, absolutely.
This is all for the glory of God. This isn't about me and Carrie. If you're watching this and listening to this and you know us on social, our posts are not for our glory at all. I mean, it's not. But when we hear stories like you're talking about, of people coming to us and going, man, that moved me, or that really needed that post today. I've had a lot of those.
Correct.
A lot of those. Yes. Where that post, I needed that scripture. I needed that, you know, what you posted right there. That story that you took, the parable, that totally opened my eye. I mean, we've had so much. So it's amazing that we're not using it. And I just urge you.
We are called to be the light.
Yeah, we are. And it's on social too.
It's on social too. And social is an extremely dark place.
It's really dark.
And so
It's really dark. It is so worldly. It is, in the terms worldly we use, because it's biblical, and it's those that aren't following Christ and the worldly.
Yeah, you name it, you're going to see it.
Yeah.
Whether you want to or not.
100%. So, yep. It's very negative. It's very, it can be depressing. It's showing you a life that's not real.
Correct.
Chasing things that aren't real. And so we get to change that if we can all band together and start using this platform, which that's why we're talking about it, to absolutely 100% share our faith through it. But again, I just think Apostle Paul, man, he would be using all of them. I will guarantee you. Again, what platforms and how can I use these platforms? So, and my wife is really good on this stuff, but Facebook posts, obviously, in your stories, live videos are good. Instagram posts in your stories. I do both. I use stories a lot. Stories has become the attention getter, right, Kara? I mean, you post in stories. If you're going to share your faith in your stories, especially Instagram, you're going to get a lot of people seeing it, which is what you want. You want people to see it and be impacted by it.
Well, it's quick. People want results very quick.
Yeah.
So you quickly can whip through a series of stories. And you can see verses, or you can see garbage.
Right.
And we get to help with that through the Holy Spirit's help.
Oh, 100%. IGTV is Instagram TV. Start using that if you're following us. And you've seen my social posts. I'm using that to promote episodes, to talk about the podcast. Kara just launched a 4-minute one just the other day to talk about some things that she's interested in and wants to talk about here in the future. So great ways to communicate, get a lot of attention there too. So those are platforms. Twitter, obviously you can go through Twitter with short verses, video clip, post, article type posts. Snapchat's the big teenager thing. I mean, my son's like, Dad, we don't even text. Like us adults, texting's all we do. Like these high schoolers and middle schoolers, they Snapchat. That's their forum. So if you're a youth pastor and you're trying to reach high school, middle schoolers, you better start Snapchatting, use that platform. That is what they're using. That is what they're on. And that's what they value as a communication tool. So be relevant by using that. But tons of different ways to do it.
That's just some of them. You guys, there's so many. Yeah. There's TikTok. There's LinkedIn.
Pinterest.
We can keep going.
Yeah.
But these are just some of the highlights.
Yeah. So in close, we are called as Christians to share our faith. Bottom line, that's what this is all about. And we hope this episode gives you some motivation and helps equip you to put some of these things into practice and just begin the process. It just starts putting one foot in front of the other and maybe just doing a post. Maybe go on social and post something and start that way. I strongly encourage our pastors, both lead and youth, to write sermons and develop programs into their churches to help equip the body to break down these barriers and equip them to share their faith. Churches are so geared towards marketing to new families and seekers. I believe if they focus more on developing and equipping their flock, training them on how to be Christians biblically, train them on how to share their faith, they will bring more people through the door than any marketing campaign a church can fathom. I'm convinced. Teach how to share your faith. Teach how to use the platforms, and the people will go plant the seeds. And it's super important. That's what we're trying to talk about here. That's what we're trying to help you with here. Anyway, I just think Paul, what do you think he would have done? Apostle Paul, what platforms do you think he would use in sharing, communicating his message? Well, that's what we have tonight. I think Paul would use every one of those platforms, by the way. But you got to embrace it. So hopefully this was value add. Obviously, we always want feedback. Kara and I love feedback, and we've had some. It's super powerful for us. It's fuel for us. So if you want to write us an email on how this impacted you, some suggestions for us, some ideas, it's things that you might be doing that are working, or maybe you disagree with what we're talking about. That's cool, too. You can send an email at nextlevelequip@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Check out our social pages. We're, like we said, we're posting, so you can see how we post out. We do a lot of sharing. So you can see us at John Alkire. That's on Instagram and Facebook. That's how you'll find me and my wife and co-host Carrie. You can find her on both at Carrie Ann Alkire. Alkire is our last name. How do you spell it?
That's right.
All biblical references are going to be found on Instagram. We have a page at Next Level Equip where you can find where every episode we launch out, we're going to put biblical references. So if you didn't catch all of it and you can't write it all down, we're going to have a place where you can go back and find all those. Please share the podcast, right? We say this all the time. Share this with your friends. Share this with your family, please. Get the message out and rate us on iTunes and other platforms, but iTunes for sure, if you can rate us good, bad, whatever you want to put, we would love to have you rate us as well.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being here.
Sharing our faith, pillar three, our final of a three-part series. We hope this helped you, and we hope this will help you move forward in your faith. And don't be scared. God's called you to share your faith, you know, the outcomes, and hopefully we gave you some nuggets to help you do it. All right, we hope you have a great week. Happy Mother's Day this weekend, and we will be back at you soon.
Bye, you guys.